Well, US President Donald Trump can rely on strong bipartisan support in Australia for his missile attack on Syria's Shayrat airfield on Friday. Both the Turnbull government and the Labor opposition have hailed the military strike as proportionate and appropriate, in that it targeted the Assad regime's capability to launch chemical attacks against its own people. But the Greens take a different view. They say the airstrikes will, quote, dangerously escalate the violence in Syria. And they want the Turnbull government to rule out Australian involvement in any new military campaign against Bashar al-Assad led by the United States. Senator Scott Ludlam is the acting Greens leader. He joins us up very early from Perth. Senator Ludlam, thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Fran.
You say the decision to bomb the airfield was deeply fraught and reveals President Trump has no foresight or strategy for Syria. Why do you say that?
It's very difficult to have any confidence the US administration knows what it's doing. This is one of the most complex and violent civil wars on Earth at the moment. And yeah, it's been raging for 4 years. And obviously, the Syrian people have borne the brunt of it. At the same time, as the Australian government effectively turning its back on the hundreds of thousands of refugees fleeing the conflict. The Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition seemed happy for the violence to be escalated by the United States. And we think all efforts at the moment should be around de-escalating that conflict, not escalating it further.
In a sense, wasn't that what the single strike was supposed to do, was to de-escalate in terms of preventing or persuading, by whatever means, Bashar al-Assad's troops of using chemical weapons on Syrians?
Well, I guess we'll see. There were reports that the Syrian Air Force was using that same airbase 24 hours later to bomb targets elsewhere in Syria. So I think it's difficult to establish whether the attacks will actually have that desired effect, whether they were simply theatre to send a message, as President Trump has said, or whether they will have lasting consequences. Nobody really knows.
Is sending a message important, though, in some cases? I mean, are the Greens really saying that the world should stand by and do nothing when a dictator gasses its own people?
I think this is what's the most difficult thing. Of course, the world shouldn't stand by and do nothing, but the only tools that superpowers seem to have to hand is high explosives. What we should be doing, I think, is building confidence in much stronger international institutions. And at the moment, the people of Syria have been suffering since 2011. Hundreds of thousands of people have died. Millions of people have been displaced. And, you know, the world, by and large, has just sat by and let that happen.
Well, to be fair, the world has tried several times to get some kind of peacemaking process, power sharing process, power transfer process in place, and it's completely failed.
Well, it hasn't completely failed. There's a ceasefire that held for a period of time.
Well, not in all parts of the country, though.
No, absolutely not. And you've got groups like Islamic State active there who aren't going to respect the terms of any ceasefire. But for a time, Australia was involved in building confidence in a ceasefire in parts of the country, which were then severely damaged. The chances of that holding were severely damaged by Australian aircraft being involved in a strike on a Syrian military position.
But during all that time, Russian airplanes were bombing as well. I mean,
they were. But this is the problem, that everybody's pointing fingers at everybody else rather than stepping back and making genuine efforts to de-escalate the conflict so that the Syrian people can actually have half a chance of deciding on the future of their own country rather than it being decided elsewhere.
So what is the best way to get that outcome, in your view, in the view of the Greens?
Look, if it was easy, it would have happened years ago. Nobody's saying this is easy. All we're saying is that continuing to escalate the violence reduces the chance of that kind of settlement and that kind of outcome. And the key beneficiaries, and I guess we can have some confidence in this because they were saying so, the key beneficiaries of the United States government entering the war, now effectively on both sides of the civil war, other armed Islamist groups, including al-Qaeda and ISIS, who are putting out press statements and tweets celebrating the attack.
Well, there's no doubt that they will do that, and there's no doubt the situation is complex. But there is also most of the world seems to agree, such thing as a red line when it comes to chemical attacks, and the chemical attack on Khan Shaykhun crossed that red line and required an action. I mean, for 3 years, President Obama was criticised far and wide for not responding when that red line was crossed.
Yeah, it's very easy to criticise a US president for not escalating violence. And if you can recall what happened last time these horrific weapons were used was, a negotiated the process where, you know, the global community thought was all of those weapons were actually rounded up and destroyed. And that happened without a shot being fired. I think it's one of the few success stories of this horrific war. So I think there is the possibility there, because we've seen it occur a couple of years ago, that negotiations were actually able to get rid of most of those weapons. And obviously, if there's some left, then, again, you know, the Greens, not only do we not condone attacks like that, we absolutely condemn them, no matter who is using these weapons. But I don't think, you know, given that that airfield was in use again the following day, that a cruise missile strike really did any more than boost the US president's poll numbers. And, you know, it certainly had that outcome for him. He's being hailed as finally looking presidential. And one of his political action committees sent out a fundraising email the following day. So I think there are a couple of agendas going here.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest this morning is the acting Greens leader, Scott Ludlam. This position about it just being a boost to his poll numbers, while that might be a part of the impact of this for sure, I mean, most of the rest of the world has supported this attack.
Doesn't mean we all have to fall into line, Fran.
No, I was about to say the US ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, now says Washington is prepared to do more. If that happens, what is it that the Greens are saying now should occur in Australia if there is any pressure or any request on Australia to be part of any further response in Syria, not against ISIS, but against Bashar al-Assad's troops?
Well, we operate on the principle that deployment of the Australian military into harm's way should be a decision of the parliament after a debate. It shouldn't simply be decision of the Prime Minister's office, because what we've seen time and time again is that Australian foreign and defence policy is set in Washington DC, not in Canberra, and it's profoundly undemocratic that a single phone call could see Australians deployed into this open-ended and horrific conflict. I don't think people would have a huge problem if Australian forces were part of a properly authorised UN peacekeeping operation, or a multinational effort to try and protect civilians. But what we're seeing at the moment is precisely the opposite of that.
So when you say in your statement Malcolm Turnbull must rule out any Australian involvement in this military campaign, you're saying in a military campaign that is organised and led by the US, not any military campaign?
No, well, I think any military campaign or any military deployment should be a decision of the parliament. And we've been saying that for many, many years. We've had a bill in the parliament that would do that. It doesn't provide for tactical decisions to be made by politicians, but the political decision about whether to join a foreign deployment, we think, should be made far more democratically than it is at the moment.
In your statement, you also say the Greens have been concerned since the election of Donald Trump about this kind of unilateral behaviour, dangerous and impetuous action. We are shackled to an ally which has no foresight, no strategy, and a deeply insecure and erratic president. Do you think you'd feel and be responding differently if Barack Obama was the US president who'd launched this attack in response to a crossing of the red line?
No, not at all. We were very critical of elements of President Obama's foreign policy. And if you look at the infrastructure that he's left President Trump, he's got a global, what he built in his 8-year tenure as president, a global drone assassination program and an incredibly powerful global surveillance network with enormous potential for misuse. And we were very critical of President Obama having now left that infrastructure to somebody with the character of Donald Trump. I think is deeply troubling.
Just briefly and finally, if you received a message from the people of Syria, the people in the town, Khan Shukun, who were bombed by chemical weapons, that they supported the Americans taking this action, they felt protected because of it, would you change your position?
I guess it's the kind of hypothetical that's not particularly helpful. To be honest, given that that airbase was being used again 24 hours later, I'm not sure that that's a hugely helpful parallel to draw. I think probably what the people of Syria want is less bombing, not more.
Senator Ludlam, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Scott Ludlam is the acting Greens leader, and after 7:30 we'll be joined by Foreign Minister Julie Bishop and also a former US ambassador to Syria and under George W. Bush, Theodore Kotouf.